Welcome to today's EN Essentials Training, Annual Performance Outcome Report, and SSA 222 Security Awareness Certification. My name is Derek Shields. I'm with the Ticket Program Manager, and it's my pleasure to serve today as the session's moderator. This will provide a chance to review the employment network responsibilities regarding the APOR and the Security Awareness Certification. Let's now review the agenda specifics on the next slide. Today, we will discuss how to accurately answer each question and complete the APOR using SurveyMonkey and how to review, sign, and submit the Security Awareness Form SSA 222 and addendum. We're going to start the session off by having some housekeeping items, and then I'll introduce our presenters. Then we'll move, as this slide has, into the Security Awareness Certification collection process, and we'll have a Q&A session specifically for that SSA 222 and addendum process. After that, we'll turn to our next presenter, and we'll have that segment on the APOR process, and that will again be followed by our Q&A session focused on the APOR process itself. The agenda is pretty straightforward. We have two topics, we'll have two presenters, and we'll have two Q&A sessions. Let's go to the next slide and cover some housekeeping items. First, it is important for you to know that we are recording and capturing the transcript from today's meeting. We'll make it available on the Your Ticket to Work website as an EN Essentials learning event. For today's questions, including during the session and in our Q&A period, we encourage you to use the MS Teams chat. We do ask that you refrain from answering questions in the chat that are intended for SSA or TPM staff. During the specific Q&A periods, you will also have a chance to ask questions real time or out loud. We'll provide more guidance on how to do that for each Q&A session. For closed captioning today, it is available for participants, and we have two options for you. You can use the MS Teams application to use the closed captions link, or use the closed caption link in the Gov delivery email or as posted in chat. To turn on closed captions in the MS Teams option, please go to the three ellipses for the More menu. You can scroll down that and select Language and Speech and then turn on Live Captions. When using the link option that was provided in chat, please copy and paste that link into the browser of your choice, and it will open a separate window to view those closed captions. Next slide, please. It is now my pleasure to introduce today's presenters from the Ticket Program Manager team. Today we have with us Anna Morales, the EN Development and Training Manager, and Lakeisha Hunt, a TPM Program Manager. Next slide, please. We'll now turn it over to Anna to cover Security Awareness Certification Collection Process. Anna?
Thank you, Derek, and good afternoon, everybody. I'm going to go over the Security Awareness Certification Collection Process. Let's go to the next slide, please. So we're going to start with the purpose of the Security and Privacy Awareness Training, which is highlighted in your Ticket Program Agreement or the TPA, specifically in Part 4, Section 6A1. All employees, as well as contractors and subcontractors, and any affiliate partner personnel who will have access to Social Security information, must complete the annual training in security and privacy awareness. It's called training, and some people may think, what is this training to do? But the training involves reading, understanding, and signing the security awareness form, SSA 222. And we just put a screenshot in the slide, as you can see. The form is 5 pages itself. So again, it's not a specific training that you have to do with one-on-one person or something like that. It's a form that you need to read and understand and sign. Let's move to the next slide, please. The form and the addendum. So there are two ways or two purposes that everybody has to follow on depending on your organization and your operational structure. The form itself is used to certify that the signer has received and understand the information of the information security and privacy awareness training. All employees need to do it. Everybody within your organization that is involved in the Ticket to Work program has to complete the form. And everybody must sign it. And the EN has to keep copies of all the forms in a secure location. We have also implemented the SSA 222 addendum, and the addendum itself is for organizations that have more than one person within the same EN. So everybody, again, has to complete the form, but the addendum is used to certify that everybody has signed and completed the form. And this applies to ENs with more than one staff. And that's what they are going to submit to Social Security. One point is that only the signatory authority or the suitability point of contact can complete and sign the addendum itself. So just a recap, everybody within your EN has to complete the form. For ENs with more than one person or one more person in the staff, they have to complete the addendum. They don't submit all the forms to Social Security. They have to submit that addendum. And only the signatory authority or the suitability point of contact can submit that addendum, sign it and submit it. Next slide, please. How to find these forms? You can go to yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. You choose resources from the top menu. Then you go to forms on the left hand of the screen. And the form and the addendum are located under the maintenance heading. And in the screenshot, it's a little bit tiny, but you can see that we highlighted in green those two forms that you can find. Next slide, please. Completing the SSA 22 form, again, all staff must review, complete, and sign the form regardless of their suitability or portal access status or when was the last time that the form was submitted. To complete it, you have to download the form from the website. You complete the fields on page 5, which is the signature page. Type the information. This is a special request. Sometimes it's hard to read handwriting, so we're asking you to please type it to be able to process all the forms in a more effective way. Sign the form with an electronic or wet signature form, and we have separate instructions posted in the website. We already post the link in the chat that you can go and follow the prompts, and that will instruct you on how to sign electronically the form. Next slide, please. The security awareness collection dates. So this is a process that is done annually. And for 2025, all ENs must sign and submit the form or the addendum during the collection period. And it's extremely important that you notice these dates. You cannot sign the forms earlier than January 27 or later than February 24th. So that's the period of time where all the staff has to read and sign the forms, and also you need to submit those forms to Social Security. Any form that is signed with a date outside the collection period will be rejected, or you will need to submit a new form signed within the collection period. So again, January 27th through February 24th. Next slide, please. Now let's move to the addendum. Addendum with any EN that has more than one staff, they have to complete the addendum. Well, both the form and the addendum, but the addendum is what needs to be submitted to Social Security. Again, only the signatory authority is the one that can sign the addendum or the suitability point of contact. About the addendum for this year, there has been a couple of changes. One of them is that the title position, and and also the ticket to work start date has been removed. That's not in there anymore, so the form looks new with those different changes. And also a new feature that was added was adding pages, especially for those organizations that have several staff or several employees working for the EN. You don't have to submit 5 or 10 different addendums. Now you can just go to the addendum itself. There is a portion towards the end before the signature that says add more pages, and you will be able to add all your employees and submit one form, one addendum at once. One tip that if you want to use this option, you have to obviously download the addendum from the website, and you have to open it in Adobe. And that is how you're going to be able to add the pages and also complete the signature fields. So you download the form, complete all the information, type again, please type all the information, and you submit the addendum. And we posted again the instructions for the electronic signature, which are also posted on our website. Next slide, please. Adding pages to the addendum, I briefly touched on this, but now you have a screenshot that is telling you exactly the area where you can click to add the additional employees. And again, make sure that you are downloading the form and open it in Adobe to be able to use this feature. Next slide, please. The submission process, all EN staff, again, they need to review, sign, keep a copy of the 222 form on file at the EN location. The form must be signed within the collection period, January 27th through February 24th. EN must submit the form or the addendum to ttw222@ssa.gov. For ENs that are that only have one staff and they are submitting the 222 form, please submit only the page 5, which is the signature page of the form. And for the ENs with more than one staff, again, please only submit the addendum. Any questions, you can send them directly to ttw222@ssa.gov. Make sure that you're including your PID in the subject line of all emails. And failure to complete this security awareness certification by February 24th is a violation of your ENTPA. And therefore, Social Security could limit your ability to assign tickets and receive payments or even terminate your TPA. So just a reminder out there to make sure that you complete it within that time frame. Next slide, please. And that's the information about the 222s. We're ready for questions.
Thank you so much, Anna, for going through the 222 certification process information for us. Prior to going into the Q&A period, I just want to go back and read aloud something that was on a slide, and I missed a talking point as I did the housekeeping for today's session. And it's an important one because we've had a couple people activate an AI reader in chat. And as you've seen, that's not allowed if you've been tracking chat. And so we went back to this slide, the logistics, And because of the size of my text, I missed this. But per the ticket program agreement, Part 3, Section 11, Subsection I, EN staff are not permitted to record this meeting nor capture the transcript. So the reason that we've had Catherine and others turn off AI readers and ask you not to use those is that it is part of the ticket program agreement. So with that, thank you, Rose. If we could go back to the questions slide, I'd like to review a couple tips about how to ask your questions, and then we'll get to them. First, we do encourage your questions, and we've seen several questions in chat, and we'll try to summarize those as we get in as well to the content. If you are joining via phone and want to participate, you can ask your question via phone by pressing star 5. That will raise your hand, and then we will call upon you and unmute your line. The second step will be to ask you to press star 6 so you can speak. Two steps, star 5, then star 6. If joining via MS Teams and you wish to ask a question, you can use the raise your hand feature and we'll call upon you. We do ask you to limit one question per participant so we could get around to everybody with their questions. And as Anna just mentioned, if you have more questions and we don't get to your question, you can always send those questions or comments to us for this topic to ttw222@ssa.gov. That email is active, and we welcome questions and comments there. So with that, I'll ask Catherine to come in. I know we have a raised hand. Catherine?
Hi, Derek. Thank you. Michelle, your audio is active if you'll unmute and ask your question.
Hi, everybody. I have a quick question. Our organization uses a online learning platform similar to Blackboard. And I'm just wanting to clarify that it's still acceptable to use that online learning platform to have folks review the form and digitally sign it through approving that they have completed the training and understood the material. And then the transcript of that is basically an Excel spreadsheet that says when they completed it, the date, the time. And that's what I use to set up the addendum for what date it was completed. Is that still acceptable?
Erin, do you want to answer that question?
Sure. I just want to clarify really quick. So are you saying you're using an Excel spreadsheet that's capturing the information regarding when individuals signed the form? You're using that spreadsheet to fill out the addendum?
So yeah, but they complete the form in Blackboard. It's an online learning platform that's proprietary to our organization. It's very similar to Blackboard like you use in college. So the assignment gets assigned to the folks who have suitability. They open the assignment. They have to read the form. Then they have to sign affirming that they read it and understood the information. And that digital signature is then portaled into an Excel spreadsheet that gets sent to me every so many days saying who's completed it and who hasn't, so I can follow up with the folks who haven't. But we've been using that system for the last several years and had no issues with it, but I was hoping to get clarification that is still acceptable and we're not in violation of anything by using it.
Sure. So this is going to be a two-part answer. So the fact that you're using some kind of, you know, software to capture an electronic signature for the 222 form, that is completely acceptable and fine. We're completely fine with an electronic signature. The piece that I'm a little bit worried about is just whether or not that software that you're using is a cloud-based solution. You know, if it is cloud-based, then it needs to comply with, you know, the cloud-based solution standards that are set within your TPA. Please reach out to Ian Service and just put an attention, Erin, and just kind of state exactly what you're using, whether or not it's cloud-based. And I'll reach out to you and we can talk a little bit more about that because it's that piece. But as far as, you know, this process is concerned, digital signatures are completely fine.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle. Catherine, our next raised hand, please.
Yes, sir. Hi, Karma. You have audio access if you'll unmute and ask your question.
Hi, Karma. You can ask your question.
We just can't hear you right now. But you have your mic unmuted.
Now let's circle back to Karma. We can hear you. Yes, please go ahead. Now we heard Karma for a brief second. We might
can
be.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now. Please go ahead with your question.
I'm so sorry. I'm using a headset, but we have an employee that's been waiting for suitability for over a year. And so what I understood her to say was regardless of suitability status, so we include that person that's still waiting also?
Yes, please. Yeah, regardless if they are suitable or not, if they have portal access or not, please include them. And on your suitability, is this person going through training or is this person? Oh, okay.
She did part of her training once and then they said she was not suitable, redo her fingerprints, redo all of her stuff. We did all of it and we've been checking on it periodically. No action's been taken. I mean, it's over a year. I'm a little irritated, but, right now she works on the other side of, we're a Center for Independent Living Services. So she works on the other side right now. So it doesn't really come into this ticket to work side, but we want to add her at some point. So you're saying do add her to the 222.
Sure. And and also have you checked with the direct suitability point of contact that were assigned last year? Are you in communication with that person?
I did try to call several times. They said they had to speak to the employee. They spoke to her. We redid her fingerprints. We redid everything. Sure. Still nothing. I spoke with Janine. I think her name was Janine or Jeannie. And she was going to look into it. And then I didn't hear anything else. And it's just been periodic checkup on that and no action. So I don't know who's doing these background checks, but we're not getting it done.
Hi, Karma. This is Natalie from Social Security. I did respond to your chat message. Will you please send the information to EN Service with this employee's name and ask them to forward it to me, and I will look into this for you?
I'm sorry. You said this is Natalie?
Yes, from Social Security. I responded to your chat. If you could send an email with the information to EN Service and ask them to forward it to me, I will look into it for you.
Thank you so much.
Sure, of course.
Thank you, Karma, for the question, for bringing up your other challenge there. And to be clear, if somebody is awaiting suitability, the guidance is to include them in the 222 submission with, I believe, the intention that we're going to get them suitable and they will be part of their employment status supporting ticket holders or engaging with. I'll check back in with Catherine. I saw another raised hand. I'm not sure if it's still there. Catherine?
Hi, it was Dan. I'm going to give you access, Dan, if you have a question. All right, unmute, Dan.
I do see Dan's hand raised again. We want to try to unmute Dan again.
Yes. Hi, Dan. You have access to your audio. If you'll just click your microphone up top to unmute and ask your question, please. Let's see.
Well, it looks like we lost that for a second time, so Dan might be having connection issues as well. While we try to sort that out, let's go over to Brittany. Brittany's been watching chat. I know we've had a lot of questions answered in chat. Let's start out, Brittany, with any unanswered questions that you could bring up. And it looks like Dan might have just posted something in chat as well. Brittany?
Hello, Derek. The all of the questions have actually been answered in the chat. I do think there are some that we should highlight that would be worth saying aloud. There was a question confirming what should go on the subject line when you are submitting your addendum in 222 forms.
Anna?
Yeah, that will be the PID number for your EN, please.
Thank you. The other question was, can you reconfirm who would need to complete the form? For instance, if they have staff at the EN that may not be working on the actual ticket program agreement, but they are working at the EN, do they need to complete the form as well, or is it only the people that are on the ticket program agreement?
I think Erin posted that clarification mm-hmm. on the chat, and it is only for the staff that works for the Ticket to Work program.
Yeah, yes, correct. So, you know, I know a lot of you guys, the organizations are huge organizations, and you do a lot more than just employment network work or just ticket. So in those cases, it's only the people that work under your employment network work on the ticket program. You wouldn't include people who work, you know, in completely different sections. But you would include people regardless of their suitability status. So I did see that question come up a lot. So if you have someone who is pending suitability, but they are going to work on ticket, you would include them on the addendum.
Thank you, Anna and Erin. Erin, you might just want to stay with us a little bit here as we go back and forth. Brittany, it seems like we've had three more questions come in quite recently. You want to bring up another one of those?
Yes. The first question is from Liz. What if we do not plan to initiate suitability for a staff? Do they still need to complete the SSA 222 and be included on the addendum?
So, if the reason that you're not going to initiate suitability is because they're not going to work on ticket at all, again, they work for completely different aspects of the organization, then again, you would not include them. If it's a situation, for the most part, anybody who works on ticket has to have suitability, you know, the exception being a signatory authority. But, you know, a signatory authority would be included on your addendum. So, I hope that answers the question.
Thank you. Another question we had come in from Linda. We do not keep paper documents anymore. However, we have SSA approved cloud storage and save all documents to this cloud rather than on site. Is that sufficient?
As long as you have the SSA 222, the signed form for all of your staff accessible in some form, that's what we need you to do.
Thank you.
So if you can download it and then print it, you know, by request of, you know, SSA, if that ever came up, that's, you know, that's the important piece. That's what we need.
Thank you. Another question that came in, I saw again as well earlier, does the addendum need to be encrypted?
It does not. No. You can just sign that form and send it by email.
Thank you. They're coming in fast. I think there was one more question.
I see one here. When will the form become available? I think that was the one we haven't gotten
yes.
to yet.
It is available already. Yeah, they're all post, all the form and the addendum, they're both posted on the website. And Glynis, if we can re-add the link to the chat, that would be great. But they are ready to use. However, remember, do not start signing them yet. You can get the form, get familiar, but make sure the signature is not until January
27th. Yeah, so just to repeat, and let's go back if we can. Rose, can we go back to slide 11, please? It seems like this is a recurring theme. And so just to repeat, you can access the form, but it's important to sign and date the form within the collection period of January 27 to February 24. So we just brought up that back on the slide to reiterate. While Glynis might have just posted the link again to access it, might be your inclination to complete it right now and send it so you have it done right away. From experience, that will cause a problem and you'll have to redo it. But on and between January 27 to February 24. Let's just check in one more time. If we can go back to the question slide. Thanks, Rose. Before we proceed into the APORT process content, is there any other questions coming from raised hands, Catherine, or in chat, Brittany?
Hi, Derek. No, sir.
I have one more question that I saw posted multiple times as well. Just to confirm, if an EN has more than one employee, do they only need to submit the addendum? They do not need to submit the SSA 222 form along with the addendum.
That is correct, but the form has to be signed for everybody, and you have to keep it on file. And if you have more than one staff, yes, you should only submit that addendum.
Thank you. That is all the questions for now, Derek.
Thanks. Before we leave the 222 topic, I just want to ask Aaron. Aaron, you've seen a lot of questions, responded to a lot. Anything that's on your mind that you want to share before we transition to the next segment?
I think we've covered everything that I'm seeing kind of consistently come up. But, you know, if you have a question, please don't hesitate to put it in the chat. I will be answering them.
Derek, this is Melanie with SSA. I did just want to mention, because I know Anna has stressed the date of that collection process to make sure that you're not signing before the January 27th timeframe or after February. And I just wanted to mention the reason why, in case anyone is wondering. As you're all aware, we recently streamlined the employment verification process. So in July and October, we sent out the link where everyone was attesting that those employees were still working with your EN, and we wanted to make sure, you know, that anyone who had access to the systems, all information was up to date. And so we do this three times a year, and this first round when we do the security awareness training or the 222 form, this is our first employment verification of the year. So that's why it's important that it falls within that time frame, because it also checks that box, and we just want to make sure that, you know, all of the dates are consistent and everything aligns with our system. So that's the urgency for making sure that it's within that time frame.
Thank you so much, Melanie, for providing that explanation, and Aaron for closing out the section. Before we move forward, Anna, just check in with you. Any other thoughts as our presenter for this section, or should we proceed?
I think we can proceed. And again, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email ttw222@ssa.gov. And if we have time later in the call, we can still answer more questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anna and Aaron, and we'll be back in a little bit, and Aaron will rejoin us for the next section. At this time, if we could go forward to the next slide, please. We'll now transition to the annual performance outcome report section of our presentation. If your EN is not required to submit the APOR this year, that would be ENs with agreement award dates in calendar year 2024 or 2025. You're certainly welcome to stay and learn about the 2025 APORT process, or if you choose, you could take the opportunity to leave, and we appreciate you joining for the first portion of our content today. I am now pleased to turn the APORT process segment over to our TPM program manager, Lakeisha Hunt. Lakeisha, over to you, please.
Thank you, Derek, and hello. We will now review the annual performance outcome report process, which will be referred to as APOR throughout this presentation. The APOR is a report that compiles information provided annually by employment networks, referred to as ENs, on the outcomes achieved by the EN with respect to services the EN offers to Social Security beneficiaries under the Ticket to Work program. The APOR will be conducted starting Monday, January 27, 2025, through close of business on Monday, February 24, 2025. Next slide, please. The APOR is a ticket program agreement, as stated in the TPA, Part 3, Section 9B. The EN shall provide an APOR to the ticket program manager on an annual basis in a format prescribed by SSA. The APOR shall provide information on outcomes achieved by the EN with respect to services offered by the EN to beneficiaries, as well as information relating to the TPA administration. The following service providers are not required to complete the APOR, and that would be the state vocational rehabilitation agencies, known as VRs, and ENs with agreement awards in the calendar years of 2024 or 2025. Next slide. Again, the time frame to complete the APOR is January 27th through February 24th. ENs must submit one APOR per EN provider identification number, referred to as PID. ENs with multiple business models must submit one APOR for each PID. TPM will send GovDelivery reminders to ENs that have not completed the APOR each Monday, except for holidays, until the deadline. The ENs listed on the not completed list will be based on ENs who have not submitted the survey by 12 noon Eastern time the previous Friday. Please note that failure to complete the APOR by February 24th, 2025 is a violation of your TPA. As a result, SSA could limit your ability to assign tickets and receive payments or terminate your TPA. Any APOR-related questions should be emailed to ssaenapor@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And we ask that you please ensure to include your PID in the subject line when submitting questions. Next slide. So in preparation of the APOR, there are resources available to you. So how do you know where to find your APOR resources? First, you want to go to yourtickettowork.ssa.gov website. Click the resources tab that's found at the top of the menu. Then click on the resource documents found on the left-hand side of the screen. So similar to what you're seeing now as a screenshot, you will be able to locate both the APOR survey and the APOR frequently asked questions with the bullet points as on the screenshot that are highlighted in green. Next slide. Now that you've located your resources, prior to starting the survey, we suggest that you review the APOR questions and reference the frequently asked questions document as a reference to best answer the questions. Once you have those documents, then you should prepare your responses and complete the survey within the time frame assigned, which again is January 27th through February 24th, 2025. The survey email, along with the link to complete the survey, will be sent to the signatory authority on file. The screenshot that you see is similar to what the email will look like once you receive it. The email will also have your PID number based on your business model. For ENs with the same signatory authority for more than one business model or PID, the survey will be sent to the program contact on file. If you wish to use another email address other than the alternative program contact email, please reach out to TPM using the EN APOR inbox. And again, that is ssaenapor@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. The survey emails will be sent out on January 27th. Please ensure to check your spam inbox
if you have not received the email. Next slide. So now that you've reviewed the questions, you've received your email, let's walk through completing the survey. Next slide. The A4 contains 20 questions. These questions fall under 5 categories to include general questions, staffing questions, EN service related, training and development, and then lastly, ticket holder engagement questions. As you may have noticed, there are 2 new sections in the 2025 A4. Those 2 sections are training and development and ticket holder engagement, which we will further go over in the upcoming slides. Next slide, please. There are 8 general questions that cover the topics of EN business model, state VR, vendor status, organizational type, and underserved populations. Next slide. Then the next category, there are 6. I'm sorry. The next category, there are 2 staffing questions. Both of those questions are regarding staff suitability. Next slide. Now here we are with the EN service related questions. There are 6 EN service related questions regarding the specific services offered by the EN to the ticket holder and EN's experience serving specific populations. Next slide. For training and development, as I mentioned, this is a new section, and there are 2 questions. These 2 questions are related to recommended training topics for ticket holders and the format for effectively delivering training. Next slide. And lastly, we have ticket holder engagement. Again, this too is a new section. There are 2 new questions. These questions focus on effective EN marketing and outreach tactics, as well as barriers to ticket holder engagement and success. Next slide. Once you have completed answering the 20 questions, you may choose to print each page for your records. In order to print the pages, you will need to click the previous button and then print your pages. There should be approximately 5 pages that you are able to print based off of the 5 categories. Once you have answered your questions as desired, printed pages as needed, please ensure to hit the Done button. The Done button allows your APOR to be submitted. Please keep in mind, the survey is not complete until you have clicked Done. Next slide. So now we have reached the end of the APOR presentation, and I will turn this back over to Derek for questions.
Thank you so much, Lakeisha, for taking us through the APOR process and the 5 categories of questions in the APOR itself, including the new categories. Appreciate that. At this time, if we could go to the next slide, just remind folks how to participate in the Q&A section. Please use the Teams chat as you've been doing if you prefer. Via phone, the 2-step process, *5 to raise your hand. We'll call on you and unmute you, then *6 to speak. If you prefer to use Teams to ask your question aloud, use the raise hand feature. We'll unmute your mic and call on you. For this section, we do ask again for you to limit your question to 1 per participant and to at least ensure we can get to everyone's questions. If you have additional questions or comments for the APOR area, we ask you to use the email on the screen, ssaenapor@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. So that email will repeat before concluding this Q&A section. At this time, we do encourage you to bring up questions. And I'll start by, I know that a lot of questions have been answered in chat. I do see one from Dan. When can we access this PowerPoint? And I could help respond to that. But we tried to have the PowerPoint and the files posted within a couple of weeks of this session. Just check in with Anna to make sure that my timing on that is accurate. Anna, do you want to make sure that Dan has the correct information there?
Yes, I will say within the next week, given that the period of the A4 is so short, we can try to make it happen before our normal processing for posting time.
Okay, thank you, Anna. So we'll have it posted prior to the 27th. The slides, of course, aren't a problem. We try to provide some notes, and that has to go through a review process as well. Thanks for that. Brittany, to bring you in, any other questions that have come up during the APOR process portion that haven't been answered yet in chat?
None that have not been answered in chat.
Any others that you'd just like to repeat for those that are calling in or unable to review the chat? Any themes that you've seen that you could call out with the questions and the answers?
Can anyone else besides the signatory authority complete the APOR survey?
And go ahead and respond. Was there an answer provided in chat?
I can answer that, Derek. So the answer is yes. The survey will be sent to the signatory authority, and they can forward the questionnaire to anyone of their choosing to complete.
Thank you, Lakeisha. We have one more question. Just to confirm that the survey is one per agency, not one per EN staff member, and to confirm the completion date.
The survey is one per business model or PID, and the survey is from January 27th, 2025, with the end date close of business on February
24th, 2025. Thank you. Those are all the questions from the chat right now, Derek.
Thanks, Brittany. Thanks, Lakeisha. Let's go over to Catherine. Catherine, we have a raised hand.
Hi, Derek. Hi, Amanda. You have access to your audio if you'll unmute and ask your question.
Hi. Will you be posting the APOR questions on the You Took It to Work website?
Yes, the APOR questions and the APOR frequently asked questions are already available on the Ticket to Work website under resources.
So, Lakeisha, with that, thanks, Amanda, for the question. With that, when you were referring to the resources section and the slide had the two green highlighted bullets, is that the section that you were pointing to?
That is correct.
So, Rose, could we go back to that slide? It would be the one with the green highlighter on it. There we are. So, yes. We have these two program resources heading APOR survey questions and APOR frequently asked questions. So they're about the fifth or sixth bullet on the program resources section on the Your Ticket to Work resources, resource documents section. Not to go too many layers into the site, but if you're following homepage to resources to resource document program resources, similar to the 222 files, these are available, but if you go and act upon them and try to submit them, then you're going to be in advance of that January 27th to February 24th timeframe. This can get you familiar with them, though. Lakeisha, any other thoughts about reviewing these in advance? Recommendation to begin, but just hold off on submitting?
Correct. The survey questions that are located on the resource page are the exact same questions that will be sent to you via SurveyMonkey. I suggest that you can print out those survey questions and you can have your responses ready for January 27th. But please do not submit the actual printed document or the questions that are on the resource page. You must submit via SurveyMonkey.
Thanks, Lakeisha. That will help everyone become familiar with this year's questions, including the three sections that you said were new categories of questions. And we appreciate your thoughtful review of those so we could get your answers and, in some cases, suggestions. Catherine, I don't see any other hands raised. Just checking in with you.
Hi, Derek. No raised hands at this time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Brittany, circle back to you. It looks like we have maybe a new question in chat.
We do have a new question from Andy. Throughout the year, we submit 222s for new staff, so no new staff should be submitted for this until the reporting period, then resume normal business of submitting after that period.
Thanks, Brittany. So we're circling back to the 222 content. I know, Lakeisha, mm-hmm. you're familiar with this, but do you prefer to have Anna come in? And Anna, do you want to answer that one?
Sure. Every time you add a new staff member to your EN, you do need to complete the 222 form. So that is just part of sending your TPA change form and completed that form. And every year during this collection period that we have at the beginning of each year, you have to do the form again. I'm not sure if when the dates are too close, how we handle that, Erin. Do you know?
Yes. So it does not matter if you started, you know, 2 days before the collection period began and you submitted the SSA 222. You should be listed, or you should re-sign once the collection period starts, and should be listed on the addendum as well.
Thank you, Erin.
Thanks, Andy, for that question. Brittany, are there questions appearing in chat that you wanted to bring up?
Sorry, talking on mute. Yes, I have a question from Jackie. We have multiple office locations. Does it matter which has the signed 222s, or do all locations need to keep signed copies?
This is Anna. I would say regardless if you have different locations, you still have a central location where all the operations of your EN are concentrated, I guess. So you can either, I would say, keep them in your central location and have everything in one place, and then just submit that addendum. But make sure that you do have all those copies.
Thanks for bringing up that question, and thanks for the answer, Anna. Catherine, it looks like we have another raised hand.
Hi, Derek. Yes, we have Michelle. Michelle, you have access to your mic.
Hi, another quick question. Just looking over the APOR questions, it asks what type of organization we are, what descriptor best describes our organization, and if we fit in more than one category, it says to only choose one. So how do you want us to handle that if we fit more than one?
I can answer that.
Go ahead, Erin.
Sorry. So I would suggest answer the question based on what you think best describes your organization. So, you know, while you might in some particular circumstances fit in more than one category, again, make the choice that kind of best describes your organization overall. I know frequently people will see that, you know, for instance, they're a SIL, but that also means that they're a nonprofit, and we have that other nonprofit option. In that circumstance, you would choose the SIL option, not other nonprofit. That's going to be kind of a last resort. If, you know, you don't fit in any of those other categories, then you're going to want to choose, you know, other nonprofit or other for-profit. And if for some reason there are two options that are not related to the other nonprofit or other for-profit that describe your organization, again, make the choice that kind of best describes your organization as a whole.
Okay, thanks.
And Erin, this is Melanie again. One thing I'll add to that, I think what we've seen in the past when we do get similar questions, whether it's regarding the same question or in other areas, we'll notice that, you know, if someone is making more than one selection or shouldn't have, or if something is not clear, the frequently asked questions that Lakeisha referenced, those aren't necessarily, you know, just a list of all of the questions that could come up, but they correspond to each question on the FAQ. So we tried to provide examples in there. So for that question, I think the nonprofit example that Aaron just used, that is listed in there. We've gotten similar questions about what we mean by other languages. So we tried to provide more examples this year and make sure that you have a resource. So if anything is unclear, just use that other document as a reference, and hopefully it helps.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thanks for the question, Michelle and Aaron and Mel, for the response. There was a lot of work that was done to refresh the APOR with new examples in different language. So for those of you that experienced it in the past, you'll have a slightly different read this year. Hopefully that guidance will help. Catherine, any other raised hands for questions?
No, Derek, I see no raised hands at this time.
Okay, and let's circle back to Brittany. Brittany, any other questions in chat?
There was a question related to cloud-based storage and where to find that, since that came up sometimes in a few of the questions. So where would ENs be able to find information about SSA-approved cloud-based storage?
So Aaron, would you like to take that? This came up in the 222 when the learning platform was discussed, but what about cloud-based storage in general and where the guidance can be found?
Yeah, so in general, please look at your ticket program agreement. That is going to outline information regarding the use of cloud-based solutions. If you have more questions about cloud, what it means, what you have to do, reach out to EN Service and make sure to, you know, to include in the subject line your PID and, you know, the words cloud so that it gets forwarded to the right people.
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, and that information that EN Service will guide you with, we'll talk about FedRAMP approved cloud storage providers and all these technical details that we aren't prepared to go into at the moment, but that's what you're looking for, and EN Service could definitely assist you with that information. Another question had come up in chat, and I think it was listed in as a question because of potentially what I said. And the question was, are there two or three new sections to the APOR? And there's a lot going on at the moment, and I think I said three new sections. There are two new sections, and each of those two new sections has two questions. And if I had said three new sections, I apologize. That was my error. Brittany, any other questions appearing in chat?
There are no other questions. Well, we just had another one pop up. Can you explain why digital signatures are not allowable for the 222? Not that day.
Yeah, so I can clarify that a little bit. You can sign the SSA 222 with a digital signature, but that form is not set up for a digital signature. So you'll notice, like on the addendum, there is that form field that is set up for you to be able to, you know, to click to sign. That feature is not available on the SSA 222 form. So the only way that you would be able to electronically sign that form is if you already, you have some kind of, you know, software to be able to do that, you know, DocuSign, Adobe Sign, those sorts of things. So, whereas with the addendum, you can use Reader to sign that form, but it's not that you can't sign that form electronically. It's just not set up to do so.
Thank you, Aaron. Again, if you have additional questions or comments that you either don't want to ask or they come up afterwards, we encourage you to use SSAENAPOR@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. to send those questions or comments to around the APOR process and timeframe for submission too. That was provided in chat earlier. Brittany, a couple other comments or questions that have appeared. Anything you want to be able to call out for us, please?
There was another question that was just answered by Anna, that you are required to keep paper copies on file with a wet signature.
That's Thank correct. You, Brittany. And Glynis just, again, put that APOR email address into chat in case you wanted to copy and paste that for later. And Jack has responded, thank you, in the chat too. There is a question about the suitability contacts. And while this is not our topic today, it's come up a couple times. Is there a way that people could access the suitability points of contact? Is there a recommendation for how best to receive that information? Anna or Aaron, I would recommend reaching out to EN Service through email in order to get that contact information. I just want to make sure that I have subject matter experts that agree with me. Anna?
Yes, or I just posted the link for the Employment Network Security and Suitability Guide. That includes all the suitability point of contacts, their names, their email addresses, and I believe telephone numbers. So you just need to check your award or contract number, and it will tell you which one you can reach out directly.
Thank you. That was quite speedy and tells me why your camera is off and what you were doing, grabbing the suitability document. Again, you could reference that for your specific points of contact, and they're organized by TPA agreement numbers. So refer to that in order to find your right points of contact. But that should help in reaching out to your direct point of contact in the suitability office. And since that was established after we had the suitability office join an all-in call, we have heard that the processing timeframes have greatly improved. So hopefully that continues to be your experience too. So we're just a couple minutes after. Yeah, go ahead, Mel.
I was just going to mention one more thing while we're queuing up the final round of questions. During the transition that we had in this presentation, when we went from Anna to Lakeisha discussing the 222 form into the APOR, Derek did mention that some people may drop off after the first section before we transition into APOR. And just in the event that we do have any new ENs on the line because you're curious about this process, if you missed the memo that was in one of the Gov delivery messages that came out, we do include language that says if you have an award date that was either in 2024 or 2025, you are excluded from this round of APOR. And that's because we're interested in obtaining data for a full calendar year, which for the 2025 APOR is from January 2024 through December of 2024. So although you will need to do it in the future, again, if your award date was either in 2024 or 2025, you will not receive a link to complete this in SurveyMonkey. So I just wanted to mention that.
Sorry, I was on mute. Thank you very much, Melanie, for that. It's helpful for the context. It also makes answering a question that's come in chat a little bit harder because there's not a single answer to this question, but maybe we'll pose it anyways. Could you please summarize all the documents to be submitted by an EN by February, specifically before end of business on February 24th? We want to make sure we don't miss anything. Thank you very much. And it's by what Mel just said, it's a somewhat of a case-by-case basis. But Aaron, I'd like you to provide a summarized answer as best possible for that, please.
Sure. Yes. So I'm going to start with the security awareness certification. So if you are a one-person EN, you are going to submit a signed copy of page 5 of the SSA 222 form. If you are an EN, if you have more than one staff member, then you are going to submit a complete and signed copy of the addendum. For APOR, as long as your award date is within that time period that Mel just explained. So as long as you weren't awarded in 2025, 2024, you are going to complete the APOR and submit that. And all of that has to happen within January 27th and February 24th. I hope that was clear. Please let me know if I need to further explain.
Thank you, Erin. It is possible to summarize this for some ENs that you have to do all of that by February 24th and not start before January 27th, but it's not the case for everybody. And so if you do have questions, does my award date come inside of 2024 or 2025? Again, you could reach out to somebody. The APOR questions go to SSAENAPOR@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And the 222 questions go to TTW222@ssa.gov. Two different email boxes. Both are active. We checked and we're ready to respond to those questions as well. Circle back to Brittany. Any other comments or questions in chat that you would like to mention, Brittany?
No, there were no other questions that weren't mentioned.
Okay. And we'll just be back. So Grace is appreciative of, says, great, thank you very much for the summary. So it is a lot of content. If it's new to you, it's important to ask the questions, and that's what we're here to do today.
Derek, sorry, there was one question in the chat that I did want to make sure I mentioned. I answered in the chat as well. But somebody asked if there were any other documents they needed to submit around this time, work from home, benefits counseling, things like that. And if you've been around for a little while, you will remember a time when we were asking for those documents as part of the APOR. We have transitioned so that those documentation requests are all part of your annual service and supports review. So you are only going to complete the APOR and the security awareness form. You don't need to submit, work from home, benefits counseling, things like that during the time period.
A lot of people with a sigh of relief right now, perhaps. Again, the time period being January 27th to February 24th. Another note from Jared saying excellent summary. So, Erin, I think that was helpful. And thanks again, Glennis, for putting both email addresses into chat. If you want to capture those, you can cut and paste them out.
I have one final reminder, Derek, only because you just shared those inboxes, both for the APOR questions as well as the 222 questions. And again, just to clarify, by APOR questions, what we mean by that is if you have questions about the process or how to complete it, we don't mean submit the APOR questions themselves to that box. Because they are available, that's more so for you to review in advance of receiving the link where you will complete them in SurveyMonkey. So we just ask that you don't submit a paper copy with your answers. The APOR questions that Derek is referencing is just, process questions.
Thank you, Melanie. I completely understand why you're clarifying that. And just to go one step further, if we could reiterate either you or Lakeisha the date that the SurveyMonkey will become available and how that will be received so we can ensure everyone's clear on that. Lakeisha?
Hello, trying to get on camera. So the survey will be sent via SurveyMonkey on January 27th, 2025 to the signatory authority on file. Unless that signatory authority is listed for more than one business model, then it will go to the program contact on file. If you do not want to have the email sent to program contact, please email SSAENAPOR inbox with an alternative email. And I've already received a couple.
Thank you, Lakeisha. I just think that runs through the tape on Mel's point. We can receive questions about the process at this email box or questions to identify another person to receive the SurveyMonkey, but please do not send in the file with your responses to the APOR questions to that email box. Send them to through SurveyMonkey, and you'll receive that on January 27th. Catherine, looks like we have a raised hand, please.
Hi, Derek. We have Roxanne. Roxanne, you have access to your mic. If you'll please unmute and ask your question.
Okay, thank you. Yes, could you repeat that email address again, please?
On the screen.
We have it up sure, on the screen. Go ahead, Lakeisha.
For the APOR-related questions, you want to submit to SSAEN APOR@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Lakeisha. And again, that's not to send your answers to the APOR questions. It's just to submit questions about the process or to identify another point of contact at your EN to receive the SurveyMonkey invite. I don't see any other raised hands. Check in with Brittany to see if there's any new questions or comments in chat.
We don't have any new questions, just lots of gratitude for the well-explained explanations and the summaries.
Thanks. I see. Thank you for thoroughly going through. Good information. Thank you. So we appreciate the feedback. We're trying to make this as streamlined as possible for everybody. And a lot of effort has gone into this content this year, I know, by the team at Social Security with some of us behind there. Aaron, like we did with the previous section on 222, any comments that you would like to call out to help close out the APOR process section today?
Sure. So I have one kind of final reminder. It was not necessarily in the chat, but I just want to make sure that I include this. As has been mentioned, that APOR survey link is going to go to the signatory authority. I know in a lot of cases for ENs, the signatory authority is not super actively involved with the EN or with the ticket program. So if that's the case, please make sure that you're reaching out to your signatory authority and letting them know you're going to get this link. If it's a situation where, you know, you want them, the signatory authority, to forward it to someone else so that they can complete it, you know, let them know. That way you have ample time to complete the APOR, you know, within that collection period.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Aaron. And with that, let's move forward in we have one more question. We have the time for it. So, Brittany, would you mind asking the question that was just posted? You're on mute. Yes. Go ahead.
So I was trying to scroll back to it. If a staff member works in the department that operates Ticket to Work but does not work for Ticket to Work or have access to PII, do they still need to complete the SSA 222 form?
I'm not sure I understand the question entirely. If they work in Ticket, then they need to sign the SSA 222. And they should be listed on your addendum, regardless of whether or not they have access to PII. Sorry, my confusion with the question was just that beginning part, or the middle part where they say it does not work for Ticket to Work. But if they work under Ticket, even if they don't have access to PII, they should sign the 222 form and be listed on your addendum that you submit.
And at the same rate, Aaron, if they do not work under the ticket program and do not serve anyone or access PII, then they do not need to be included.
Correct.
Okay. It's the department part of it that kind of makes us wonder, but that just use those two. If they're working in the ticket program, doing anything serving ticket holders or accessing information in support of the program, they should be included. If they do not do those things, they do not need to be included. Okay, and then, you know, what day is the APOR being mailed? January 27th will be that SurveyMonkey invitation as well. All right, and seeing no other questions, let's proceed to the next slide, and we'll begin to wrap up today's EN Essentials program. As we move to wrap up, just a couple slides left. Thanks for being with us, and we'll be done in just 2 minutes. First, I'd like to thank our presenters, Anna Morales and Lakeisha Hunt, for their presentations and reviewing the content, along with our TPM production team, and of course our colleagues at Social Security, Aaron Weidman and Melanie Webb, for all the work they've done in preparation for the 222 and APOR process this year. For those of you who are interested, you can find information about the EN Essentials learning events on the Your Ticket to Work website. Go to that training and events section, and then we have past presentations uploaded there, and we'll have this session there, as Anna said, looking to post these slides and some other content prior to the 27th. If we can go to our final slide, please. We do have 3 upcoming events we'd like to encourage you to consider sharing or participating in. First, on January 22nd, that's this coming Wednesday, we'll be starting the new year off with our next WISE webinar entitled Ticket to Work and Mental Health. We appreciate your support in sharing this event registration information with ticket holders and your other community partners. Then on February 4th, we'll have the first all-EN payments call of the year. And we're also scheduled in February on the 26th for our next WISE. That will be on how will work affect your my Social Security benefits. To view all of these events, you can access the 2025 calendar events on the Your Ticket to Work website under Training Events again. Select Events and then Calendar, and you can access that, of course, at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. We also encourage you to provide recommendations or ideas for future EN Essentials topics. You can do so by sending us email at enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Thank you for attending today's EN Essentials session. We wish you to stay healthy and warm this winter, and we appreciate all that we can do together in 2025 in support of beneficiaries and ticket holders in finding financial independence. This ends today's session.